Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Aaron Reynal of Legendary Social Media, who is a former journalist and world traveler turned boy mom and entrepreneur. Today, we're going to be discussing Aaron's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Aaron.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, sounds great.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur and agency owner?
I've really enjoyed this kind of progression of my entrepreneurial journey over the last few years. One thing that's always been important to me, just in my own kind of the work side of my life, has been flexibility and freedom to have that work-life balance, of course, that everybody talks about. Mm-hmm. And being an agency owner and an entrepreneur has, you know, after several years of definitely not having a work-life balance, finally gotten me to the place where I have had that. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, which has been really nice to kind of achieve that goal that so many of us have.
Yes.
That's been really important to me as I've grown the agency over the last few years. And the other thing too is, you know, building a team of people around me who are supportive of the agency and of me personally, which is really nice. And that I'm also able to support them too, to give them at least some degree of that work-life balance that's possible in this type of work.
Yes.
That's something kind of that I've prided myself on as I built out the agency, is making it an environment and a culture where the team feels as nurtured and fulfilled, I think, in their work as what I've tried to achieve for myself as the agency owner.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, whenever you're able to have a little bit of that flexibility as well, to, you know, just be able to like fit in your appointments and whatever, and not feel stressed about doing so, you're going to be so much happier in your day to day. And you're just, you know, your team members are going to produce a higher quality of work because they're just, their heart's in it and they're enjoying what they're doing. So, and then that's just gonna, you know, that's the end result is going to be such a higher quality. So it's going to definitely impact your clients as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have managed to do just that. That is kind of the most important part of the agency and the team, is making sure that the team itself is happy. All the members of our team are happy in their work, because like you said, they do produce better quality work and they show up, you know, happy and excited for their day. They treat clients really well, and they're going to create their best product, which is so important to us as a team, but of course also to our clients.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, for any agency owner who's listening is going to know that, you know, that's the whole point of, or what we all dreamed of for digital marketing, is having that freedom of flexibility to work from wherever you want and choose your hours. And the reality is that isn't always possible, or there's kind of like limitations on that. But I do feel like we've done a pretty good job of getting as close as possible to that dream as much as we can.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Awesome. So Aaron, how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Yeah. So as you mentioned in my bio, my training, my professional training was in journalism. So I studied journalism after high school and ended up getting a job in Victoria, BC for a small newspaper on the island. And I worked as a reporter for about 5 years. And then when I was 25 years old, I got promoted to editor of another newspaper. And so Yeah, it was, I have mixed feelings about it. It was really challenging in a lot of ways. And, but, you know, I think what I really appreciate about that time is the, again, the training that that type of career gave to me. It was all, my foundation became writing and research, right? And learning how other people kind of think and communicate. That's really at the foundation of journalism. And that type of experience and training was such a great foundation for moving into the marketing world. Because at the end of the day, it's about understanding where other people are coming from. So if you're trying to sell, you know, identifying those pain points. And if you're trying to write and create excellent social media content, for example, or emails or blogs, it all comes to the writing and research stuff. So that's kind of how I, that's how I got started, was in journalism. And this is back in 2000 and back in 2012, I was kind of done with the editor position. It was really hard. I was working crazy hours for very little pay. It was really a stressful work environment. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to move with my partner at the time to anywhere in the world. And we decided to move overseas to Costa Rica.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And so what I ended up doing was bringing my kind of writing and research skills to Costa Rica to help local businesses improve their websites and write blogs and write their social media posts, because that's what I could offer down there since journalism wasn't really a possibility. So that's really how I got started in the industry. Mm-hmm. And then I lived down there for just about 2 years. And when I came back to Canada, I moved to Vancouver and just decided I was going to take that digital marketing experience seriously. And I set up an agency, although it was just me at the time, called Legendary Social Media, mm-hmm. and here in Vancouver. And yeah, I was just a one woman show for a little bit of time at the beginning, but quickly started to grow, brought on some contractors. Mm-hmm. And then as our needs continued to grow, started hiring full-time employees. And now we've been in business for 7 years, seven and a bit.
Amazing.
Yeah, just over 7 years.
Yeah.
And we're now a team of about 9 people, all based in the greater Vancouver area and one on the island. So yeah, that's kind of the story in a nutshell.
That's so interesting. So it all started out in Costa Rica. You just were, you know, ready for a little bit of a change, wanted to do some traveling, basically got started there, and then started the agency whenever you moved back to Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so, you know, when you started the agency in Vancouver, how did you bring on those first few clients to, you know, grow the agency?
Yeah, good question. A lot of it was at the time connections that I happened to have. So again, with my partner at the time, he was working kind of in the construction and design industry. And so his clients that he had through work would need websites or blogs written and stuff like that. And so that's kind of, I really leaned on those connections to get started, mm-hmm. In the business. And then at the same time, I was building up my website and learning a lot about SEO. So I was blogging really heavily, making sure I was posting at least a blog a week on the website to make sure we had that kind of SEO content going on there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really a mix of those connections and then the website and working on based off of referrals. I did a lot of pavement pounding in those days too, kind of going door to door to local businesses and offering essentially freelance social media services, and never had good luck with that. It was just kind of not my style, and your conversion rate on that type of stuff is really low, of course.
Yes.
But eventually over time, those kind of referrals started panning out better and better, mm-hmm. getting more and more of those. And then to this day, I think our website has been our biggest kind of sales driver and business development driver. If you search social media Vancouver, at least locally, we're always kind of in the top 3 search results, and the other two are often
awesome.
like a Glassdoor or a Clutch or something like that result.
Yeah.
Something kind of work recruitment related. And so we've been really I was going to say lucky, but we worked really hard to make sure that the SEO was on point with the website, because now we're getting leads coming in the door who already like know that they want our services, have already learned about us by exploring our website and basically just sending that really nice warm email and saying, hey, this is our budget and here's what we're looking for. And yeah, we're able to close those deals pretty easily.
That's awesome. That's really interesting. And so what are some tips for, you know, closing those prospects when they come through the door? You know, you've determined that you want to work with them. They seem pretty interested, but, you know, sometimes you can run into that scenario where maybe they're dragging their feet a little bit. Have you come across any tips to, you know, just get the ball rolling quickly and close those prospects?
I've found that in my experience, I'm not interested, at least in closing deals quickly for the sake of closing a deal. My philosophy has been to nurture relationships with clients through information and making sure that they understand, you know, if we do work together, what that's going to look like and what it's going to, you know, what it's going to look like in terms of a client and agency relationship. So how do we deliver the service? And, you know, what is important to us as an agency from, say, a KPIs standpoint, if we're doing, you know, digital marketing ads versus organic social media marketing, for example.
Right.
And then just and really understanding their needs and how our agency can fit into that. And then also explaining our experience. So that kind of nurturing that relationship through education about who we are, what we create, what you're going to get out of that as a client. That's been our biggest win over these years, because it's for us, it's not really, I'm not into hard selling. Like I told you about that pounding the pavement. I just don't do that. I don't really believe in that. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would much rather, you know, really have them feel comfortable that they can trust us, mm-hmm. because we've taken the time to educate them and give them the information that they need. And then they make the decision that they want to work with us. They've reached out anyways. So it's most likely that they're going to come on board, and we've had a really great conversion rate, I think, because of that philosophy.
Awesome. So you basically just keep nurturing the relationship, keep educating them until they're basically ready to get started.
Yeah, exactly. And that can either be, you know, through kind of the onboarding presentation that we'll do with them, following up with calls and hopping on Zoom. So anytime that, you know, if they're not really sure, we'll just make sure that we're available to the client to answer those questions. We'll also kind of get in touch with them sometimes. I'll do kind of a discovery call with a potential client and have some ideas and strategies that pop into my head. And, you know, I'll just feel really comfortable with calling that client up and talking these strategies through and how we could implement them for them. And yeah, I do think that's worked really well for us.
So what would you say has been your tips for creating loyal, happy clients who are going to help bring in those referrals down the road?
Yeah, again, it really comes back to education. So, right, like if you think about what we talked about before, you know, our philosophy is really to educate that client about what to expect from us. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's great for winning business to a degree, but more importantly, that's great for retaining business and creating those strong foundational relationships with clients that's built on trust. And when we start things off that way, where it's not just about winning a contract for the sake of winning a contract, because, you know, I've found some kind of a way in the door to get them onboarded quickly. And it's right. There's a really big difference between doing something like that, where you might have a client that's kind of, you know, kind of on board, you know, they're going to try us out or whatever. And maybe that kind of client might last 6 months, that, you know, where we've just brought them in quickly with whatever worked for us, versus mm-hmm. a longer term kind of trust-based relationship that where they're going to stay with us for years, which is kind of how things tend to go with our client roster. We've had clients with us since, I think, you know, upwards of 5 or 6 years.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. And those are the places where those referrals tend to come in. That's from those clients who have worked with us for a very long time. They know that we're committed to quality because we've been doing it for them for so long. And even though mm-hmm. these years have gone by, we haven't, you know, we're not slacking off in the work. It's always, you know, quality first.
Yes.
And so that's really, yeah, that's really where we've had those kind of referrals coming in, is because of those clients who've who trusted us from the beginning. We've nurtured that trust and grown that trust throughout the years of working together. And then it's obviously very easy for them to send business our way when they have contacts who are looking for help with social media or email marketing or digital marketing. There's a no-brainer there in terms of who they should send their client, their contacts to.
Right. Okay. Very good. So just really having a relationship first focused, with your clients, making sure that communication is dialed in and you've got that transparency. And of course that you're always offering a really high quality product, has worked really well for you for just having that long lasting relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of part and parcel to that, there's kind of more that goes into it, right? Because there's one thing to educate the client from the very beginning about, you know, who we are and what we do and how all of this works. But then as you kind of get down into the day-to-day of delivering products and services to that client, one of the major ways to continue to show that impact is in the kind of reporting and analysis part of things. So we're really big on, you know, meeting with our clients regularly to go over the performance of their accounts, whether that's from an organic or a paid perspective or both, if that's what we happen to be doing.
Okay.
And just making sure that they see the value that we're delivering kind of on like a month-to-month basis, or it might be a quarterly basis. And sometimes it's really just annually if that's kind of the best fit for them. But yep. Showing them the results of the work that they do is really important to us as an agency and really important to that client to understand why they should continue working with us, because the work that we're doing is paying off for them in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's so awesome because it's so common in the agency world where you send a report over and, you know, sometimes they, you know, it can be confusing or, you know, maybe they're busy, they're not taking a look at it. So just taking that time to really go through it and make sure, you know, they are aware of the work you're doing for them is so important because it's just going to just cause a much smoother working relationship down the road, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it goes back to kind of understanding the impact of the work that we're doing, where, you know, we're not just putting posts out there and we're not just throwing ads out there and we're not just sending emails. Like, what does that mean at the end of the day to their business? And looking at if you auto send a report every month, chances are your client's not even going to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. If you can take that time to schedule, you know, if you can schedule a 30-minute call on a monthly basis with that client to go over those results, or again, if it's quarterly and you take a little bit more time to go over like recent results, it goes a long way to help them understand the work that you're doing and how that impacts their business.
Yeah. And I think whenever you're able to address something before the client can come to you with an issue, that is, that's so powerful as well, because it just helps them to feel heard and that you know that, or that they know that they're, you know, top of mind whenever they know that you're juggling so many other clients as well.
Exactly. And it's also opening up those lines of communication where, yeah, like kind of what you're saying, if a question maybe comes up that they weren't too sure about, that's, you know, they'd actually ask that question during a call like that versus, you know, they may not send an email to ask that question. And it, again, giving that kind of whether it's face-to-face over Zoom or it's a phone call or whatever it is, just having that personal touch point with the client has, I think, a lot more value than we sometimes realize if we're kind of, you know, sending emails back and forth. You know, tone can get taken wrong or it feels a little bit cold and impersonal, but video calls and phone calls make a big difference, I think, to the client and their perception of you as an agency owner or the account manager, and also as a fellow kind of business that's supporting them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Legendary Social Media?
It is so hard to choose one. I would say for me personally, the whole kind of accounting and bookkeeping side of things is just not my cup of tea.
Yes.
So managing the business finances and learning about accounting and bookkeeping has been a huge struggle for me just because it's just not what I'm interested in. I would much rather be doing graphic design and calling clients than working in my QuickBooks account or whatever. That would be it for me. And then just learning, I think the other kind of big one that might be really relatable to everybody is kind of learning what type of client is the right fit and how to say no when it's clearly not a good fit. And that does just come with time and that kind of confidence that you build up over the years of doing this and building up a really loyal client roster who you know is going to be there, and you don't have to worry about kind of losing, you know, saying no to a contract because things are comfortable and stable. But that was kind of a big one for me that's happened over the years.
So what is a red flag to you that someone is not going to be an ideal client?
Yeah, I think we've had calls from potential clients come in where they spend, you know, 45 minutes complaining about their past agency, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know that not all agencies are created equal, and there are agencies that, you know, that are not committed to quality content. So and customer service. So I know that that can be difficult, but if a client, you know, can't really let go of that, then our relationship with that client is not going to have that trust, because it's kind of starting from a place of, I've been burned in the past. I'm not really sure if this is going to work, but let's give it a try because I've heard good things about you.
So they already have their guard up before you've even really got started.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just because of, you know, maybe that agency just really didn't do a good job, but for clients who can't really let go of that and see that a fresh start is really a fresh start, it's more of a personality thing. So whoever your contact is at the company that's considering your services, if they've got that mindset of like, oh, this, you know, this might not be a good thing for us, it hasn't really worked in the past, whether that's the owner, say maybe a marketing manager or something like that, it's usually not going to be a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. You want someone as a client who really, you know, appreciates the work and trusts you as well. Those are two such big components of having a good, healthy working relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what is your 5-year plan? You know, where do you see legendary social media in 5 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, it's hard for me to say. I feel like we're always kind of shifting and pivoting. And, you know, myself as the owner, I feel like my life has been changing quite a lot over the last few years. When I started the agency, something we didn't talk about is that I had two kids right away a couple years after I started the agency. And so that kind of slowed things down a little bit because I wasn't able to dedicate as much time to the agency as I could. And, you know, now I've been out of that mode for, you know, a couple of years. And so I feel like we're really picking up momentum. The COVID happened. We're really picking up momentum from that. Mm-hmm. And now we've got potentially a recession on the horizon. And who knows what kind of impact that's going to have on our business as an agency and on our clients' businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really shifting right now towards content creation. So video content creation for TikTok and Instagram. We've really kind of been pivoting in that direction. So I'd like to kind of keep the momentum up on that. We've been really successful with working with clients like Sage Wellness, the essential oils company.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And Science World here in Vancouver, which everybody in Vancouver would know about. So we've been able to pick up clients like that. So we want to keep that kind of content creation side of the business going strong. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing, you know, more and more interest in email marketing. Not that that's necessarily a new service, but I think kind of businesses are shifting more and more towards email marketing. So we've been picking that up too. Mm-hmm. And then the other part too that interests me going forward is for myself, now that I'm out of the whole like newborn new mom stage of my life, is being a little bit more visible out there. So doing things like this podcast, for example, and you know, hopefully doing more in the future, maybe hosting workshops and talks out there is kind of something that I'm looking to. to doing over the next few years, and just kind of being out there in the community a little bit more and positioning myself as a bit of a thought leader from a marketing perspective and an agency perspective. There's a couple of goals that I've got for us coming up here.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see how that all pans out for you over the next 5 years. And it sounds like you've got some really cool clients that you're doing social media work for. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've really had a great time working with such a diversity of clients. And the content creation side of things has opened up the doors for us to really expand who we can work with and in what capacity.
Awesome. So we are getting ready to move on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. But before we move on, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Good question. I think at the end of the day, I think I just wanted to go back to what we were talking about around work culture and nurturing, happiness amongst your team as really one of the best things that you could probably do for your agency as an owner. Because again, you know, it may not seem like a direct line, but I think that in my experience, at least, having a happy team of employees really goes back to the quality of service that you can deliver for clients. Mm-hmm. And kind of having that stability of clients who keep coming back year after year, instead of those quick, like 6 month contracts, if that's what you do, or even shorter than that.
Yeah.
Because they not only trust you as an agency, but they trust the account manager because they've built up a relationship with them over time, because that account manager has been with you for years too, right? So they've got that longevity with the business, lots of experience, working with an agency that really cares about quality. And I think that really pays off for, you know, long-term stability for the business, trust with clients, and being known as an agency that treats employees well, which makes recruiting a bit of a breeze.
Interesting. So this might be putting you on the spot a little bit, but do you have three tips for ways that you can be just taking care of your employees and, you know, helping create that employee retention because you have happy clients? What are three ways that you help do that?
Yeah, I would think number one is ask them what they want.
Yeah.
And listen to the answer. So, right, especially with smaller teams like mine, where we've got kind of nine people, it's easy to have the one-on-ones with the team, for example, or just ask in a group, like, hey, what do you want? What do you want your benefits package to look like? How much vacation makes sense to you? And saying things like, you know, if you want to take a week and go on vacation and have that and not use your vacation time for that, as long as you can kind of still be connected and deliver the work that needs to be delivered, like that's totally fine. So asking employees what they want, mm-hmm. I think, is the biggest thing. Modeling that attitude of work-life balance, I actually think, is quite helpful. So, mm-hmm. For example, our team uses Slack for internal communications and also communications with clients. And in our internal channel, you know, between myself or a manager and anybody on the team, we'll just say, hey, popping out for a 90-minute appointment, I'll be back later. So kind of modeling that type of behavior where it's okay to have a life outside of work.
Yes.
Showing that the owner is comfortable with doing that, and therefore you can also feel comfortable doing that.
Yep.
That would be number two. And then, give me a second to think about a third one. That is definitely putting me on the spot.
Do you guys do any type of, you know, extracurricular, like activities, like anything like that?
Oh yeah, that's a really good one. Yes, actually, because we all happen to be located in Vancouver, except for our sales director who's on the island, we have gotten together as a team for an in-person work day once a month. In a studio that we rent. So we all kind of get together. And that is kind of nice since, you know, most of us have shifted towards remote work. That social part of your work life has kind of disappeared.
Yeah, totally.
To a large degree. And so I think having those in-person work days have really helped with employee happiness too, because they can get to know their coworkers and
Yeah.
We don't really achieve very much on those days. It's mostly creating TikToks for our own account, but people get to chat and get to know each other. And yeah, it brings that social aspect back in.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And I would say kind of if this is, I'm not sure if this would be a third or a fourth kind of tip. It really comes back to the recruitment and hiring process and, you know, asking the right questions during that process to make sure that that person is the right fit from a culture perspective, from a work culture perspective, and making sure they have similar mindsets and philosophies right at that kind of hiring stage. Because when you bring somebody on the team who isn't a fit from that perspective in terms of their beliefs and how they like to operate in a team environment, it can really erode that culture for the entire team. And so it's really important to identify those traits from the onset.
Yeah, that's such a great point because I know, if they, you know, kind of put a wrench in the gears, a new member in the team, and then it's upsetting other, you know, just sort of the flow of how you guys have been operating, you definitely do not want that. So it's important to really identify whether they're an ideal fit very early on and also make adjustments early on as well if you see that.
Yes, totally. Thank you. That is very important.
Awesome. Well, why don't we move on now to the fast five? So, So I have five rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
From a work perspective, not too much. My favorite book would be The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. But I would say I wanted to shift that into my favorite. I have a favorite podcast, which is Work Life by Adam Grant. And I listen to that one pretty regularly.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
When my kids are around, it's just chasing them around and trying to get them ready for school. It's pure mayhem. When they're not around, I wake up at 6. I go to the gym or go for a run, depending on the weather. And then I have breakfast and coffee after that. And I'm always at my desk, usually around 8:30 in the morning. Or 9 if I'm taking my sweet time.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, that's no. I'm not really into that actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Asana. Oh, I love it. I love being able to check things off my list. That is so satisfying.
Amazing. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, how long it would take to feel comfortable as an agency owner. Like I don't have to worry about, you know, where the next bit of business is coming from. It's been a, you know.
How long it would take to feel like established, like you don't have to constantly be wondering where the next client is going to be coming in, the next payment's coming in.
Exactly. I think people are just starting to talk about that now, that whole like, oh, I'm going to make my side hustle my main thing. And it's just like, oh, the amount of time and effort you put into that it's crazy.
Yes, that's a great point. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Erin. It was a pleasure to learn about your story. And thank you for sharing with us about your journey of growing legendary social media. So I really appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed this discussion. And I'm really grateful to have been invited. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.